Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Recapping real quickly, last week we talked about God gave Abraham something to see that was bigger. Called him outside. I won't go into the details. Called him outside, showed him the stars, and told him to see the stars, and told him that's how his descendants were going to be. So he's starting to impact Abraham by what you see. Last week we talked about that we are impacted by what we see and hear, and that can be positive or negative. We talked a little bit about social media. Anybody crank back on social media this past week and just say, you know, I didn't do as much, and did it help you? Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. It helped me. I did. I cranked back on some. And how many of you know you can get in a habit, though, of doing it? And so you really almost just have to break a habit. But I tell you, it'll bless your life. So we talked about Lot's example that he was tormented by what he saw and heard. And I know a lot of people just, they're tormenting their souls by what they see, what they hear. We talk about what are you focused on? Are you focused on who you are in the natural or what your strengths are? And remember, we asked five things that God says about you. And what I want, and maybe because I didn't give you time enough to talk about it, but you ought to be able to come up with some things that God says about you. See, a lot of times people can remember something their parents have said. Listen, you can remember even something that somebody said to you in the third grade that was unkind. But we need to be able to remember even quicker what God has said about us. And so we talked a little bit about this. Now, I'm going to go to Abraham's example again, but this time we're going to go to Abraham's example of speaking differently. Genesis, the 17th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Then Abram, now again, I keep calling him Abram. At this point in time, he's still Abram. Abram fell on his face, and God talketh him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. The story of Abraham was at this time 99 years old. He had a wife named Sarah. Sarah was 90. And they tried for a long time to have children. Sarah could not have children. Sarah came up with a pretty harebrained idea to give Abram her maid, so maybe I can have children through her. Do not try that at home. And so there was Ishmael, but God's talking to Abram. He said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He said, in fact, he said, I have made you. You'll notice sometimes that God talks in past tense. I've done this. Abram's looking around going, I don't know that it's done. But he changed his name. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude. So God changed his name. And so now Abraham's going to have to call himself Abraham. And God keeps talking to him, and I'm giving you the shorter version. He also changed Sarah's name. Let's look at this next passage. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. By the way, it means princess. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. That's a brave man. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? You know, I'm glad that's in there. Because sometimes you just think God talks to people and they just go, great, we're going to have a kid. I'm 100. She's 90. Abraham's laughing. He's going, yeah, Right. Yeah. I'm 100. And I love the fact that he had to make an adjustment. So God changes Abraham's name, and he changes Sarah's name. She'd never been able to have children. She's now going to be a mother of nations. And Abraham did not start off in faith. He laughed. But he began to speak this about himself and Sarah. He began to call himself Abraham. So he's got to walk out the next day, and Abraham had like 300 some servants. And you know they're going to come up to him next day and go, "Mr. Abram." He's like, "No, sorry. New name. The boss is now called Abraham." It means father of a multitude. Of course, you're the boss. No one's going to go, they're going, "Yes, sir." And the guy's father of a multitude. Yeah. That sounds crazy. And yet Abraham had to begin to call himself that, father of a multitude. Every time he called his name, he's saying something. But understand, he's not just coming up with a name. He's agreeing with what God has said. See, that's the difference. He's not making something up. He didn't wake up one day and go, "You know what? I'm going to be a father of a multitude." God said that. And so Abraham's just simply agreeing with God. So it seems strange but he adjusted. Now, Romans, the 4th chapter, Paul is talking and he begins to talk about Abraham, because Abraham is called the father of our faith. He's a great example of faith. And it says that this is a great passage. Abraham, in Romans 4, 19, 20, "And not being weak in faith, he," this is Abraham, "did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old." Time out. He wasn't physically dead in terms of he had left his body. I think you're smart enough to get this, aren't you? He was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, non-productive. No Viagra at this time. Are you with me? Y'all looking at me like, what? He did not consider his own body already dead since he's about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Leave that up there just for a second. That word waver actually means to separate. So what Abraham did, I mean, he's 100, no wonder he's laughing. He's 100 years old going, "My day is over." But he said, but not being weak in faith, He wasn't considering what was going on in his body, and he wasn't even considering what was going on in Sarah's body. This is why this guy had some amazing faith. The Bible said he didn't separate, that word waver means to separate. He didn't separate himself from God's promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I've said it this way. I've done this. It's like, here's the promise of God. This pulpit is the promise of God. Abraham didn't walk away from it through unbelief, but he strengthened his faith as he's giving glory to God. So what he's doing is, Abraham's just thanking God and worshiping God. "Thank you, Lord. I'm the father of a multitude. Thank you. Sarah and I are going to have a baby." And the more he began to give glory to God for something he had not seen yet, instead of separating himself from the promise, he connected to it and got stronger with it. Can you see that? One of the beautiful things about praise, and one of the greatest things about praise, is praise connects us with God's Word. When you're thanking God and praising God for something you haven't seen yet, you are strengthening your faith. You're getting stronger in your faith. Listen, anybody can thank God for something that's already happened. It takes faith to thank God for something that has not happened yet. So I want you to keep in mind, we got Abraham in mind, and I want us to go to the next thing. Abraham was someone who connected. Now, and shorten the story, they had a child whose name was Isaac. Isaac actually means laughter. Guess who had the last laugh? God said, "Name the boy Isaac, because I'm laughing now." So he had Isaac, And so they're living on a different level. So let's bring this into our life. Living on a higher level. I want to talk about God's truth or your current reality. Where do you speak from? You see, Abraham, when he started calling himself the father of a multitude, he is speaking from God's truth. He's saying, God, this is what you've said about me. This is who I am. That's God's truth. He wasn't going, I'm old and Sarah's old. Dear Lord, I'm old. I'm just old. I'm old. He's like, I'm father of a multitude. We're like, oh, okay. Now, here's a good question. I'm just going to ask this. Where do you speak from? Your current reality? Current reality is this. And listen, we've been trained to speak this way. My fears, my anxiety, my hurts, my pains, my areas of weakness, what other people have said. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people say, oh, that just bothers me. I'm just so anxious. I'm just an anxious person. I'm just a worrier. I'm just so fearful. I'm just so afraid. I'm so upset. I'm so worried. I've been hurt. I talk to people all the time, and listen, a lot of people have been hurt. Guess what? If you're a human, you're going to get hurt. If you live down here, you're going to get hurt. Well, I've not been hurt in church. Join the club. No, seriously, join the club. You think, well, Alan, you're a pastor. You never get hurt. Are you kidding? I have people come up and tell me why they left that our church. I don't go to your church anymore. Oh, okay. I'm sure you shared that with me just to bless me. And that's kind of minor, but people say stuff. People do stuff. One of the reasons I'm not on social media is I don't get to hear all the negative things people say about me. What I don't know won't hurt me. So if you've been saying all kinds of nasty things about me, I don't even know. If you send me an anonymous letter, I don't read it. Because if you can't put your name on it, Hoss, I am not going to read it. You don't got the... Just put your name on it. And don't make up a name. Anyway, you can talk about your hurts and your fears and current reality. This is where I am. Or we can talk about something different. God's truth. I don't do this much, but I have a drawing for you. Actually, that's a scripture. Do we have the drawing? Chris, y'all have that? Yay, nay. Oh, I got the thumbs down. I'm hurt. I wouldn't have to graphically do this. And I had a drawing. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Current reality is here. God's truth is here. And in the middle is what we call the faith zone. Current reality is, I am so anxious and so fearful. I just feel this way. God's truth is, He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. God's truth is higher. Jesus said this in John 17, verse 14. 17. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's word will separate. Here's what I want to get to. We all live right here, but God says some different things about us. We've talked about this one before, so let's talk about this. God's truth is, we'll just say, salvation, and here's current reality. So, your friend comes and from college calls you and says, hey, I'm in town. Thought we'd get together, have some lunch, and you're having lunch with him, and he goes, man, I know I need God in my life. I know I need to get saved. Would you look at them and go, well, I'm going to pray and ask Jesus to save you. Would you do that? Would that be a good prayer? No. Why? Jesus has already paid for his salvation. Jesus is not going to have to go to the cross again. Jesus is not going to have to be raised from the dead again. The spiritual truth, the truth is salvation is available for everybody. Salvation is available for your friend. You're not going to look at your friend and go, man, I tell you what, why don't you pray and I'll pray and we'll see if God wants to save you. He's already provided salvation. Your friend right here is lost. He needs salvation. How's he going to get there? It's not Jesus coming down. It's him believing in his heart and confessing with his mouth. Oh, let me just read it. Romans 10. Don't lose this one. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of you know that if someone comes in tonight, or if they just come in and say, you know, Alan, I want to be saved, they don't have to, I don't have to get Jesus to do anything. I don't have to pray that God, it's God's will. We know that Jesus has already provided salvation for them. All we need to do is say, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead? If they go, yes, I believe that. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. I thank you. Salvation happens right there. We know that, don't we? Because we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth. Here's the problem. We keep talking our fears. We keep talking what we're not. We keep talking our weaknesses instead of taking what God says. It's the same principle. We take what God has said about us, that we are new creations in Christ, whether we feel like it or not. That we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, whether we feel like it or not. That we are dead to sin and alive to God, whether we feel like it or not. And the key is we believe it in our heart and we begin to say it with our mouth. Amen. The same principle that got us saved is the same principle that brings healing and strength and deliverance. Instead of talking about how addicted you are, talk about how Jesus has already made you free from it. Now, here's the problem. People go, well, Alan, I'm not free from it. I know that. That's your current reality. But he's made you free from it. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has already made you free from the law of sin and death. But we want to see that manifested in our life. It's not there yet. So here's what we're not doing. I'm not walking around going, I'm not addicted. 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 That's denial. It's not just a river in Egypt. It's denial. Denial's not going to help you. It's believing what God says. God looked at Abraham and said, I've made you a father of many nations. Abraham's like, I'm not a father of many nations. That's his current reality. But God said, I've made you that. So what did Abraham begin to do? He began to say with his mouth, I'm the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. The principle is we believe in our heart and we speak with our mouth and then we begin to see it in our life. Amen. Current reality, God's truth. God's truth is always higher. Now here's the deal. You say, well, Alan, I kind of feel stupid because, I'm real addicted and I'm addicted to alcohol and I can't get free from it and I can't get free from it. Listen, the more you talk that, the more you're establishing that you can't get free from it. Don't keep establishing what is. Begin to talk about what God says about you. Lord, thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, thank you that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you that I can know the truth and the truth that made me free. It's a function of what level we're going to live on. I don't want to live on just the level of everything I see and feel and touch and hear, because that's constantly changing and people are constantly doing stuff and you can live constantly hurt that way. Why don't we come up on a higher level and begin to declare, thank you, Lord, I am one of your children. I have right standing with you. How about this one? God hears me when I pray. Yeah. You ever said that? See, a lot of you believe that God would hear me. Or if you don't believe that, you know he hears Joy. How many of you believe God, when Joy prays, that everyone, okay, God hears Joy? Most people believe it. I've had people look at me and go, hey, I'll pray for them. No. I said, I need the A-team. I need Joy and Janet to pray for me. Here's the deal. If you belong to Jesus, you're on the A-team. You are the A-team. Say, Alan, you don't know me. You don't know my situation. You know how bad I am. Yeah, but as long as you keep saying that, you never move up. You stay in current reality. The way you begin to move up is find what God has said about you and begin to say the same thing. How about this? Lord, I want to thank you. And listen, if all you got, just do it. Put it in thanks. Lord, I want to thank you that you hear me when I pray. Y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. All right. Let me give you... I'm trying. You know why? It's because I didn't have my drawing. I'm just going to have to get over that hurt. Okay, let's run through some scriptures. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You ever said that? Lord, I want to thank you that you're for me. Hey, we're getting ready to come up on Thanksgiving. You're going to be hanging out with some people who are not for you. So he's like, Lord, I want to thank you. Don't do that at the Thanksgiving dinner. Lord, I want to thank you that you're for me, regardless of what these people think. Lord, I want to thank you. Do not try that. But are we saying that? See, a lot of times people believe that God might be for me because I'm a pastor. Or God's for Justin because he's a worship leader. But you know, me, I'm just a what? You're just a child of God. You're just the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're just a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away and all things have become new. You're just a what? You are just someone who's been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and transformed. You are just that. So why don't we begin to say, I'm just that, instead of, well, I'm just a single mom, or, you know, I'm just single and no one loves me and no one cares. No, God loves you and God cares, and we love you and we care. And stop talking that way, because you're not helping yourself. We're talking way too much in current reality. We need to begin to thank God for his spiritual truth, which is higher. And one of the best ways to do it is just thank him for it. You can ride down the road going, Lord, I want to thank you that you said you surround the righteous with favor like a shield. And I'm going to work today, and I have your favor on my life. Yes. I am favored by you. So what most people think is, you know, no one likes me. Everyone likes so-and-so. They're the favorite. I'm not the favorite. I'm not the favorite. And listen, you may feel that way. You may have been told by your parents that you weren't the favorite. But the beautiful thing about God is everybody is his favorite. You look in the mirror tonight and go, thank you, God, I am your favorite. So I wouldn't be able to say that. Yes, you can say that. So you need to say that. You need to stop talking so much defeat and stop talking how things are and begin to thank God for what he's doing in your life and how he's moving in your life, and things can change. And you're not limited. When we label, we limit. You put a label on, I'm just a this, you've limited yourself. If you're going to put a label on yourself, find something God has said. I'll give you the, you know, you were looking at me strange on the prayer. Can you go to 1 Peter 3:12, guys? So you didn't have my drawing. Can you go to 1 Peter 3:12? For the eyes of the Lord, okay, here we go. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Is that you? You sure? Okay. Eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. Would that be you?
Yes.
Say, well, Alan, no, I'm face the Lord's against those who do evil. Well, stop. Go to the last one, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You say, I'm not righteous. Well, look, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He didn't sin, he was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, listen to me. You have right standing with God, not because of your background, not because of your nationality or your gender. It's not because of what you do in church. You have right standing with God because of what Jesus did for you. And because what he did for you, it puts you in right standing with God. So many believers feel like other people. Oh, the pastor's in right standing. The staff, they're in right standing. The spiritual people are in right standing. I'm not in right standing. If you belong to Jesus, you are in right standing with God. And that means his eyes are on you and his ears are open to your prayers. And what makes this more... Now, here's... You go, man, that sounds great. But what will make this a reality is when you go out and get in your vehicle and you're driving home and you go, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear me when I pray. Yes. Thank you that your eyes are on me. Thank you I am not forgotten by you. Thank you that you are for me, and if you're for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. Thank you. Now, you may feel awkward saying that. That may feel funny coming out of your mouth. But that's all right. If you'll keep saying it, you'll get used to it. A lot of you know the prayer that we pray at the end of the service. You know that one? Why do you know it? Because all you have is repeated every single time. Yeah, I know. But the principle is you got it because you've repeated it. So I'm... Can I just say I'm going to be a billionaire? No. God's truth is what we're saying. God's truth is what we're saying. We're not making stuff up here. Abraham didn't make up, I'm changing my name to Abraham. God said it. Abraham agreed with God. We come out of current reality and begin to agree with God. Instead of talking about your addiction, talk about your freedom in Christ. Instead of talking about God never hears you, talk about he hears your prayers. Instead of talking about you're just not much, talk about you're a child of the living God. And how about this? It's not that you're weak, it's that the power of the greater one lives on the inside of you. The living Spirit of God lives in you. You are not weak. You are not a weak person. Amen. In fact, you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Talk that. Would you bow your heads for a second? Father, thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those who are watching online. I thank you for them. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for the potential that they have and what you've done for them in Christ. Lord, thank you. Such a blessing. Said your bowed and eyes are closed. And if you're listening to me, you go, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know it. Or I'm not sure. Or I'm just really unsteady on this. Or maybe you did it one time and you've gotten away from him and you know in your heart, I want to come back. I want in. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but we are going to pray. If that's you, would you slip your hand up real tall so I can see it? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be embarrassed of this. Anybody else? Thank you. That's you. Great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to say a prayer. This is just a powerful prayer. So why do you say this prayer every time? Because we believe in our heart and we say with our mouth. So we're going to say this prayer together as a church family. If you're online, if you're by yourself, say it out loud. If you're with other people, say it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who acknowledge you, for those here, for those online, for those who've come to you and those who've come back. Thank you, there's been a change in their spirit. Thank you, Father, for the life that's in them now. And Lord, we give you all the praise for that. Thank you for what you do. What your grace has provided is so wonderful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.